Okay, today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Bet. We talked yesterday a lot about, toward the end, about Dagim Shalu Bakara. So I wanted to do a little more research for today. And I wanted to talk about this topic of Naf or Not, and a very important Nafka Mina L'Halacha that comes out of this sugya that is very Halacha L'Masa, Mechlo B'Tzfardim Ashkenazim. So I thought I'd point it out. Okay. The case we saw is Dagim Sha'alu Baka'ara. Now, the pshat, this is a classic case of when the Gemara gives a particular example without discussing conceptually what are we talking about, which then leads all different interpretations to come about, what exactly is the case, and then from there, what can we infer for other cases. So the first difficulty about this case is if you look at the words Dagim Sha'alu Baka'ara, Ka'ara is not a k'dera. K'dera is a pot. Right. And yesterday I explained that what we're talking about is they went on a plate, not that they were actually cooked in the pot. Okay? That interpretation, I figured out, is only the Rivan's interpretation. Okay? Most Rishonim do not understand that that's what the sugya is, and that when we matir, not bar not, again, what does it mean? Let's just go through the case. Let's take it according to the Rivan, the way I explained it yesterday. Dagim go in a plate. Right, the plate, you would put meat in the plate before, hot meat. That plate becomes, right, has ta'am basar. That ta'am basar goes into the fish. So it started with the meat, it went into the plate. The plate then spit it back out into the fish. You can eat those with milk because according to Shmuel, right, there's machlok at Rav and Shmuel about this. According to Shmuel, you can eat them with milk because it's called no tain tam bar no tain tam. There was tam in the kli. The tam went out into the fish. Already that's far removed. We talked about two different interpretations of that. Why? One is to say it's already so far removed that it's not even considered basar anymore. And the second was, right, and that's actually tosfot. It comes up, I don't know if you remember this, but in Zvachim we talked about this. If you have a pot where you cook shlamim in, and then you want to cook it the next day, you want to cook new shlamim, do you have to worry about the notar in the pot that, remember, shlamim you can eat for a particular amount of time, and then does it go by the, right, you have that day and the night and the next day, does it go by, then when you cook the next day's meat, the flavor comes out from the pot, would you then say, well, now it has the status of shlamim of yesterday and not shlamim of today? And we said it didn't, and Tosafot based on that says, we see that it's not considered basar. Okay, once it's already removed, now that, by the way, is a pot cooking in a pot. So I want to point that out, right? That was in a pot cooking, not like a plate like we were talking about. But we'll get back to that in a minute. Then the other approach is the approach of the Ramban, who says it's actually tam gamur. This is real taste. There's real meat going into those fish. However, we're going to say it's already weakened so that it can't actually give enough taste into the when you eat it with the milk to be considered.
It's more like batel b'shishin.
Right, it's a little more like batel. Right, it's more similar to that. So now he says, though, but there's a question, which is what? Even if we say the meat, I'm going to get back to the Rivan after, okay? But right now I want to discuss this. Even if we say that the meat doesn't go into the fish, I'm sorry, the meat goes into the fish, right, but it's not enough to asur you eating the kutach. What about the fact that the kutach is now going into the meat in the fish? There's enough milk to go in. If you call that fish, and it's, if we consider that it's still basar, it's just not enough to give taste into there. But the fish is considered meat, though, according to the Rambam, which means when the milk, you eat the milk together with it, the milk is going into the fish, which is now meat fish. So how do you deal with that? In other words, the meat's not strong enough, but if we still call it basar, then the milk is going into that. So he says, he answers his own question, and he says, it shows that it only works when, there's only basar b'chalav when each can go into the other. And in this case, since the meat's not enough to go into the milk going into the meat doesn't mean anything. It's not actually, you know, it's a little tricky, because he calls it meat, but then he sort of says it's not exactly meat, because, okay, fine, that's just an interesting thing. So
his matter if it's hot or cold, the products, the meat, the fish. And the
no, it would have to be so right.
If it's
so then,
the cold is okay.
Right, exactly. And once you're going to say it's okay, it doesn't matter hot or cold.
I'm sure you're going to say that hot is okay. It doesn't matter.
Right. The question is Rav, who says not barnat is a problem. But I think it doesn't matter because once the meat became, the fish had to be hot when it went into the pot or the kli, whatever we're going to call it. Once that happened, then you can't have it with dairy because then you're mixing milk and meat, even though you're not cooking them together.
But then the question would come up if it were not hot, if fish were cold.
If the fish were cold, then there's no taste being transferred, and then it doesn't matter. If you put fish on a cold fish on a meat plate, you can eat that with dairy. That doesn't matter because there's no flavor. That for sure is not a problem. Okay, so that's the first thing. So now we have the Rivan. Okay, the Rivan's quoted in Rashi, and he says, it's quoted in Tosfot, B'Shem Rashi, it says, that's what I got. Please for a second. If you look in Tosfot, Hilchot Adarim Shalu Bakara, and you look down about 10 lines, or maybe a little less, there's a period. B'Shem Rashi, Perish Rivan Chatano. Okay, Rivan was his son-in-law. Davka Alu Shari, Aval Nitbashlu Asur, Tikechad Tam Achashiv. Okay, he says, obviously, if you cook it, well, that's ta'am, right? What else is ta'am if not this? That's why I understood the sugya that way yesterday when I read it, because obviously, if you cook something, well, then there's real ta'am basar. You can't say that's already weakened flavor. The point is, this whole sugya is it's already weakened when it's already in the kli. Once it goes from there to the fish, it's even more weakened. But isn't that classic basar b'chalav? So, and it's also part of the question, assuming we don't understand it this way, of the Ramban on Tosfot, which he says, you know, there's why when we cook chalav in a bisarikli, do we say, you know, we need shishim? Why do you even need shishim? You could say this isn't even basar, it's just tam and it's weak, and then, you know, we throw that all out the window, and that's a bit of a question on that opinion. However, most Rishonim disagree with the Rivan and say no. Even though it says shalu b'kara, kara could mean a pot, cooking, and if you cook something in a dairy pot, or let's say a meat pot like this, that, and then right, you cook the fish, let's say, so the fish, it's already, the taste of the basar is somewhat removed, those fish can be eaten with dairy. Okay? Now, this leads us to psikan, the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? The Shulchan Aruch says, in Siman Sadihei, Sif Aleph, Dagim Shenit Bashlu, O Shenitzlu Bekdera Shal Basar, Rechutza Yafeh, She'en Shum Shuman Dabukha. So you take your pot, you clean it really well. Mutar La Ochlam Bekutach. Sfaradim say this is what we call dairy equipment, right? DE. And so Sfaradim say, no problem. Mishum Dahave, no Taintam Bar, no Taintam De Tera. Bim Loaita Rechutza Yafeh, fine. Then you have to worry about Shishim. Okay? But if it was cleaned well and you cooked fish in it, you can eat those fish with milk. Okay? But forget about fish and milk. Okay? Forget about that. Here we're just talking about basar b'chalav. We're not talking about that issue of people who don't eat fish with milk. Right. That's what I was going to say. That's what I was saying. Okay. Well, I'm not opening a Pandora. We're not getting into that right now. Okay. That's all based on a mistake, by the way. It's a taut sofer, it's based on a mistake in text, and that's why I don't want to get into it here. It's based on a mistake, that whole thing. Anyway, then if you look in the Ramban, the next sif, he says the yesh machmirim b'tzliyau bishul le'esor noten tam bar noten tam, and he quotes the Rivan Shem Rashi. We have it Rashi b'shem Rivan, but Rivan b'shem Rashi, whichever way it is, makes more sense. Say Rivan b'shem Rashi because he was son-in-law. But anyway, he says yesh machmirim, and that's based on the Rivan. Because again, if the sugya is cooking in a pot, then it shows cooking in a pot is mutter. If the sugya is a plate, then it shows the cooking in a pot is usher. And that's what the Ashkenazi psak is based on. However, we are machmir more than the Rama. Why? Okay, we as Ashkenazim, because the Rama continues to write. V'cheinim ayah, I'm skipping, but later on in the Ramah, in that same Ramah, he says, V'cheinim ayah, kli shenitbashlu bo, o nitzlu bo lifgam, shelo haya ben yomo. You asked her, say, what about ben yomo, right? I said, we're not talking about that. What's ben yomo? Ben yomo means that within 24 hours, the taste is good taste, and therefore any taste is a problem. Once it's past 24 hours, we call that no taintam lifgam. It's bad, bad flavor. Therefore, we don't care. Once it's not ben yomo, whatever taste it gives is bad taste doesn't count. So he says, the only case where we'd ask for dairy equipment is if the kli was a ben yomo. if it was used within 24 hours. But if it wasn't used within 24 hours, then you can even eat it with dairy. Now, we as Ashkenazim don't we're not mekel like that. We claim that if you cook something in a dairy pot, it's dairy, right? And not that it's dairy, it's not actually dairy, but you can't eat it. Okay, I'll explain what you can't do. You can't eat them with meat. You can eat them a minute later. You don't have to wait between milk and meat, but you can't eat them at the same time that you're eating meat, like on the same plate, generally, we would say. Okay, that's all based on this, okay? But taking it one step farther, okay? The other issue that we have to discuss is that it says in the sugya dagim she'alu bakara. What does that mean, she'alu bakara? They were already cooked in the pot. Let's say you say cooked in the pot, or were already put on the plate, which sounds like, and that's all mutar, which sounds like it's mutar b'diyev. And as b'diyevet, it's mutar, but l'chatchila, you can't do it. Now, what does l'chatchila mean? Does l'chatchila mean you can't l'chatchila cook your fish with the in a dairy, let's just assume we're going with the pots, okay, the Ashkenazi way. You can't cook your fish, let's stick with this example, in a meat pot, planning to serve it with cheese on top, okay? But if you already did, you can. So some people say that. Or does b'dieved mean, and that is you can't, does it mean you can't do a l'chatchila, meaning you can't serve it with cheese once you already cooked it, but if you already did, then we allow. Let's say you already put the cheese on the fish without realizing. So there's a whole big question about if we're going to say it's only mutar b'dieved, like the, again, this is taking the wording of the case and jumping to conclusions from it, right? Trying to, not jumping to conclusions, but trying to figure out the case from there. It's only b'dieved, and then the question is, what exactly is b'dieved l'chatchila here? And then if we go with the first option, l'chatchila has to do with your intent. Right? I intended to cook it to eat with meat. And then I changed my mind, you know, or right? Then as long as you didn't intend originally, it's very interesting to say that. So anyway, there's different opinions about exactly what we say b'dieved l'chatchila. So that's another thing. And then there's just so many interesting things here. So I wanted to make Seder out of it because it's also very practical. There's a difference between not barnat of hetera. This is all basar b'chalav, right? Now that means when you cook that fish or you put it onto the meat plate, you didn't do anything wrong, right? Fish can go on a plate. It's just that you want to eat it with dairy now. That's called not barnata hetera. So there's a distinction between not barnata hetera and not barnata visura. Let's say it was something else where a non-kosher piece of meat was cooked in that pot, okay? Now will we say not barnat? The answer is no. We don't say not barnat there, okay? The question is, why is that? If you say the tam is weakened, so the tam is weakened, it shouldn't matter whether it's Isser or whether it's Heter. So I'll give you two answers that are given. One is in the name of the smock. He says, well, we learned by Dine Isser Beheter that what? Remember the meat with the non-kosher meat? What do we say? The chaticha atzma naseit nevela. And if we say that across the board in all Isser Beheter, that means now the pot itself became nevela. And that can't get weakened. That's just like that meat couldn't get batel into the other meat. That pot is the buster there. You can't say it's tam kalush because the whole thing becomes nevela. Okay, that's one thing. The Rashba gives a different reason. He says that when we want to take this fish and we want to say, can we eat this with dairy? So we're creating a situation that becomes a sur by saying this fish has the meat in it. Can we mix it with cheese? You know, will that be asur? In order to create an asur situation, you need strong ta'am, and this isn't strong enough ta'am. But when it comes to isur veheter, the first act was cooking, let's say, the non-kosher meat in the pot. That didn't happen through not barnat. The isur was generated, right? The forbiddenness was generated by real cooking, strong flavor. So that already exists. Once it exists, we can't get rid of it. This is all to create an existing, to generate an isur, you need koch. And this doesn't have enough koch to generate isur. So yes, it's true, the fish was cooked in a meat pot, and you could say the meat went into the pot. But in order for us to say the fish can't be eaten with dairy, and we're creating a basar b'chalav problem, you need strong tam, and this isn't strong tam. So that's another reason as to why that would be the case. Okay. There are other things I wanted to bring up. I mean, there's so many things here, but I think we'll stop with this for now, and we'll go on. But that's the real issue with dairy equipment, and this is where it comes from, Rivan versus the others, about how to understand this case. Okay. Starting with the fourth line on Kufyu Betamut Aleph. Ba'i minei Rav Dimi Merav Nachman. Mahu la'anuche kada demilcha gabei kada dekamcha. Okay, kamcha we're going to see is kutach. Okay, that's that mixture. Remember, it had, okay, before we were talking about it, it had dairy. That was important. We're also going to see that it has salt in it later, which is also going to be important. I told you, it's also chametz, so when it comes up with Pesach issues. Right now, we have a jug full of salt. We're not allowed to put it next to a jug full of kutach. Amarlei, right? So we asked him, can we? Amarlei, asur. You can't. What's the concern? This seems right. How do we put things in the refrigerator next to each other based on this, right? So they say, what's the concern? If you put the salt next to the kutach, what might happen? Some of the kutach might spill into the salt. And then you might use your salt to salt your meat. And therefore, it's a problem. So now they say, dechalamai. What about next to vinegar? Because vinegar was also used for not salting meat, but for taking the blood out of the meat. Amarle shari. He says, that's okay. So he asks now, umayshna, what's the difference? So he says, l'chitecha ale kura de milcha. Right? I'll tell you after you weigh out, measure out for me a kura of salt. Right, as some people say, right, that's my, if you give me that, your reward will be, I'll tell you the answer. It's sort of a, right, it's unclear whether he's basically saying, I'm not willing to answer you at all, or he's sort of just joking around and saying, oh, go do something for me and then I'll answer you. Anyway, either he answers now anyway, even though the guy didn't measure out a core of salt for him, right, a core of salt is a lot of salt, it's sort of an exaggerated phrase. We've seen it a number of times. Or maybe he doesn't actually answer him. Maybe he's saying, what kind of crazy question are you asking me? It's so obvious. Go figure it out yourself. Like maybe that's what he's saying. Go weigh yourself a core of salt. And let's go do something that takes a long time, meaning go ponder this, right? Go think about it. While you're measuring that core of salt, give it some thought. You'll figure out the answer yourself, right? Two different approaches of teachers. Do we answer our students or do we say, go figure out the answer yourself, creating maybe more independence, right? On the one hand, sort of pushing them off and saying, I don't like your question. On the other hand, you could read it as, find the answer on your own. If you think about it long enough, you'll figure out the answer. So now, again, either he answers or the Gemara answers us. My taima, hai ite isur be'ene, v'hai leita isur be'ene. When the kutach, I'll start with the vinegar. When it falls into the vinegar, what happens? The vinegar is so strong that it cancels out the flavor of the kutach. In which case, if you'd salt it with the meat, there'd be no flavor anymore of the kutach. But when it comes to the salt, the flavor of the kutach will actually be in there. Nothing's going to happen to it. It's not going to dissolve. Right? It's just going to be sitting there. And you might not notice it. It'll sort of get somewhat absorbed, but it'll still be there. And therefore, it's asr. So now how do we put things next to each other in the refrigerator when we're not worried? So the concept here is that there's a concern that no one would ever think, like if you see salt, you would never think that salt could have anything mixed up in it. Let's say your kutach mixed up with your salt. You might say, oh, what's the difference? It's just salt. You wouldn't think about the fact, because if you put a little salt on food, right, it's cold, nothing's going to, you know, it's fine. But if it's, you're going to salt the meat with it, it'll be a problem. But you might not think about that. Like, you have to think a few steps forward to think, oh, maybe I'll use that salt to salt my meat. And if you didn't think about that, then you won't think about it. You'll say, ah, some kutach fell in, no big deal. Whereas if your kutach falls into meat, you'll notice that your kutach fell into the meat and you'll realize it. But in this case, you might not think that there's any issue, so you might ignore it. That seems to be the answer. Okay, hau bar gozla. There was a little bird, meaning, we'll see whether the bird was, it was obviously a dead bird. Okay, we'll see whether it was cooked or raw. The bird, nafa lekada de kamcha, fell into a kutach, okay, a jug full of kutach. Sharia rav chinen abere de rava mi pashronia. Okay, he allowed it. Amar rava.
He allowed what? Kutach or the dead bird?
The bird. He allowed the bird and said, don't worry that there was kutach that fell in. Okay? So, Amar Rava, man chakim lemishri ki agavna ilav rav chinen abere de rava mi pashronia. There's no one, right? He said, oh, what a smart guy. I can't, you know, you're the only guy who could have matired this. You're so smart that you figured out how to matir it. How so? Kasavar ki amar Shmuel meliach hareu kiroteach hanemile de eno neechal machmat milchon. Now, what's the concern here? Right. Well, let's just read it and then I'll explain. Aval hai kutcha hare neechal machmat milcho. He says, what would be the concern here? It was all cold. So the what happened? The bird fell into the kutach. It was cold. Shouldn't be a problem. However, what's the problem? Kutach is salty. So what did Shmuel say? Meliach hareu kirotech. If you salt something, it's as if you boiled it. So therefore, it should be a problem. But what does he say? Oh no, it's not just falling into some salty dish. That wouldn't do it. When we say meliach hareu kirotech, that's something de'eno ne'echal machmat milcho. That's something I'll explain first according to Rashi. It's so salty that you would never eat it with the salt. And what happens when you salt meat? After it's finished salting, you rinse the salt off, right? You don't. It's so salty that it's not edible with all that salt on. That's the amount of salt we mean. Salt is hareu kirotech. But the kutach, you eat it with the salt, not machmat milcho. The pshat sounds like because of its salt. You don't eat because of its salt, but you eat it. You eat the salt is part of the food. So therefore, that's not a case of meliach hareu kirotech. Okay, Tosfot gives a different explanation of machmat milcho. He says it's not necessarily the quantity of salt that you wouldn't eat it; you would have to rinse it off. It's a matter of if are you putting the salt in for it to pickle or for it to take out the dam, or you know, for the salt is there for not for eating it, but for a process that's going on. That's when we say meliach hareu kirotech, whether or not you might eat it with all that salt in it. That's not the issue. It's not a matter of quantity of salt, it's a matter of what you're using the salt for. Whereas kutach, obviously, you're not using the salt for that purpose, and therefore the oaf having fallen into the kutach is not going to create a problem. But now the Gemara is going to specify, it depends. Hani milechai. This is only if the meat was raw, because if the meat was raw, we assume it's not going to absorb the milk of the kutach, or the milky part of it. Aval tzli, but if you roasted it, the bird was already roasted beforehand by klipa. Then you at least need to remove a thin layer, because the assumption is it's a little bit absorbent, so it's going to absorb a little bit into the outside, you know, the outer rim. The eat be pile, and if it has cuts in it, then kule asur, then the entire thing is asur, because it's going to get, right, it was both roasted, which means it can now absorb flavor, and it has some cuts in it, which means it gets deeper than just kadei klipa. The metabel betavlin, like we saw yesterday, if you spiced it, that also makes it very prone to absorption, in which case, again, we're going to say kule asur. So here we have cases where even though it's cold, we can assume it got absorbed into the whole item, and the entire item is going to be forbidden. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, kikar shechatach aleha basar asur leochla. If you take a kikar, you took basar. Now this, we're going to assume, okay, that what happened here, you had basar that you didn't salt. But what did you do? You roasted it. And in roasting, most of the blood comes out. But the point is that even though most of the blood comes out, you can't necessarily assume all of the blood came out. And therefore, if you took a loaf of bread and you sliced on top of that loaf of bread this piece of meat that was roasted, again, that was not salted beforehand, asur l'ochla, you cannot eat the bread. Because the assumption is, we're going to see it later, I'll already tell you now, that because, which might ruin something later on, but I'll tell it to you now, it's, right, spoiler, since you cut the meat, we talked yesterday about the duchka de sakina, the force of the knife. Since you cut the meat on top of the kikar, while you cut it, it brings out more than what might have come out otherwise. And therefore, by cutting it, you brought out whatever dam, it kind of forced out whatever dam was still left in there, and therefore got on to the bread. And therefore, the bread is forbidden. Vahane mile, but this is only, now we're going to talk about, right, now we all know, you roast the meat, what happens? There's this red juice that comes out of the meat. Is that considered blood? Is that considered not blood, right? So how do we treat that? So here they're going to say, hanemile da asmik. It's only if, now, this is a big debate, if it's reddened. Now, what's reddened? So some people say if the meat was very red, like very rare, right? In which case, maybe there was still blood in it. But this is why in Israel, for example, they don't kosher a lot of the steaks beforehand. Right? In America, it's much more common to kosher them before. They salt them. But in Israel, less so. So when you go to a restaurant, most people, if you're careful about it, you shouldn't be ordering rare meat because it's not necessarily, yeah, you didn't know that? Like if you go to the store, I remember this years ago when I made Aliyah, like whatever, 26 years ago. Now I see it much less. But I would go to Supersol and you would see in the meat department, lo mukhshar. And I didn't understand, what do you mean, it's not kosher? You know, here I was this young Olet. No, it's not just the livers, it's the steaks. A lot of them aren't kosher before. And you have to ask your butcher whether they kosher them before or not if you want to make them rare. Because, and in restaurants, you have to, you know, you have to assume that they weren't necessarily kosher before. And therefore, you know, you can't have it very rare because there's still blood in it. So one explanation is to say, hanimi li da'asmi, meaning the meat is very red, then you have to worry. Some people say, no, it means if the what came out of it is very red, right? Depending on the color, that will affect the color of what's coming out and what's now in the bread, if that's very red. So this is a debate what's supposed to be very red. V'hanemile de'avre. Okay, and also, it's if the blood soaked through the bread from the top of the piece to the bottom of the piece, okay? Meaning it's a matter of, like, quantity, or that somehow that if it soaks it, then that's a sign that that it's still the blood. V'hanimili ta'asmeche. It also has to be thicker, right? Like we know normally the juice that comes out of the meat is very thin. It's thicker, the blood. Avaklishta, but if it's very thin, late lamba, then it's not an issue. Okay, so there's all these conditions as to say when exactly it would be a problem and when it wouldn't be. Shmuel shadele the kalbe. Okay, Shmuel would take this bread, if he had this, right, if he cut the bread on the meat, he would throw it to his dog. Rav Huna, there's a funny line, Yavle l'shame, he would give it to his shamash. It's very strange, right? And Gemara's going to jump on this and say, first of all, it seems like you're comparing your worker to a dog, right? Normally, you throw it to the dog because it's not kosher. So Gemara asks, Manavshach, what's it? You know, either way you look at it, I understand. Ishtare lekule al-mashare. If it's mutar, then to everyone it should be mutar. He should have eaten it himself, not given it to shamash. And he asur lekule al-ma'asur. Why was he giving it to his shamash? It should be forbidden for shamash also, right? They didn't think that his shamash was going to be not Jewish. That wasn't even a possibility. So, right, that would have been an easy answer, right? He was a non-Jewish shamash, but apparently they didn't have non-Jewish shamashim, I assume, right? Every time we see the shamashim, they seem to be Jewish. So anyway, Shane Rav Huna, but maybe it is a possibility, I'm just throwing it out there. So what are the answer? Shane Rav Huna da anine date. He was an istinis. We've seen this before. It grossed him out. The thought of that red soaked into the bread just disgusted him. That's why he gave it to his shamash. I don't want to eat this. You can eat it. Maybe there's still a problem there, but maybe he figured his shamash is willing, right? Often, we saw the other day, the shamash never knows what food is coming to him. And maybe, you know, he was happy to get anything. So that's why.
So he holds its mutar.
Exactly. But again, it seems like we could be talking about here. Yeah, it's not clear what the conditions were that he was talking about. In other words, it was a case where, I assume, the pshat is that it was a case where it was mutar, but he still wasn't willing to eat it. Meaning it had all the conditions that allowed it to, you know, that allowed it. Rava achile, Rava would eat it. Vekarele chamar basar. He called this the wine of the meat. Okay, kind of like meat juice, right? That's what he called it. He had a name for it. Amarav nachre, because it looks like wine. Amarav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Ein Minichim Kli Tachar Abasar. We talked about this yesterday a little bit, about what happens when you put the kli under the meat. So you can't put the kli under the meat while it's roasting. Ad Sheikhlech Kol Marad Momit Shavo. Yesterday we saw that with the liver you can't put the dish under, but with regular meat you could. But now they say you can't do it until a later stage of the cooking. Again, this is if you didn't salt the meat and get the blood out. You have to wait till till the blood comes out. And then you can put a kli underneath, and again, the whole idea was you wanted to eat the fat, which is then going to get mixed up with the blood, and then you would have an issue. So now they say, good question, mina yadina. How do we know when it's no longer blood coming out and it's just juices coming out? Right? Where's the boundary there? Marzutra mishmeder of Papa Amar mishita aletim rato. When the smoke rises. Okay. What exact smoke are we talking about? Smoke from where? So Rashi gives two interpretations. Again, as we saw before, there was, what was it, where something also, it was either, I just lost my place about it, where, but it was something you could explain it in two different ways. It was referring to this or that. Also here, it's referring to either the basar starts to smoke up. When the basar starts to smoke up, that's a sign there's no more blood. The second interpretation is that the coals start smoking up, because as the blood's coming onto the coals, it doesn't allow the coals to smoke up. This is the claim again. I don't know the mitziut, whether that's true or not. But Rashi says, "Kol zman shadam shotet alehem einan ela kabim b'holchim." Aval kashashuman notet, right? We know this to be a fact that the fat causes the fire to smoke up. So what don't I know? What he claims is first the blood comes out, then the fat start dripping after that. So once the fat start dripping, that causes the coals to smoke up, and then you'll know. What did you want to say?
That.
Okay. Yes. So we started with Rav Nachman says the name Shmuel. You can't put a kli underneath until there's no more red coming out. How would you know this? He says, Rav Zutra says in the name of Papa, once the smoke starts coming up again, to a debate about what exactly that means. Matkifla Ravashi. Ravashi says what? V'dilma, even once the smoke comes up, there's still a problem. Dilma tata'a tame ilave. Tata'a mita. Ila'a lomita. Okay, maybe the bottom, all the blood has come out, but maybe from the top of the piece, there's still blood in there. Because think about it, right? When it starts coming down, it's going to come down from the bottom, but right, it might be there's still some blood at the top of it. So the fats might start, let's go with Rashi's second interpretation. The fats from the bottom part might start coming out and smoking up, but it doesn't mean that there's no blood in the top part. So Ela Amar Ravashi, late takanta. So Ravashi says, really, there's no good solution here. Ella, this is what you should do, though, he suggests. Mishta beitarte glale milcha. Take two big pieces of salt. Umishvie. Okay, it seems to be like what you should do is like this. You put one underneath the meat, one on top of the meat. That will draw out the blood. And then it'll kind of draw it to the sides of the kli. I'm not exactly sure how it gets from there to the sides of the kli, but let's just assume. And then mishvie, then you tilt it. And all that blood will come out, and then you can leave the pan at the bottom of the clean and collect things. Right. Exactly. But again, they wanted to collect the fat, so that would help. What you're just saying is then everything will drip, and you won't have any fats, right? You're talking about a rotisserie, right?
Yeah.
But then nothing collects at the bottom. This is, they wanted to collect. You could do it even without a rotisserie. It collects... If you put something underneath to collect it. Right, but that wouldn't help. In other words, you're still collecting the blood. It would even out. That's what you're saying. It would even everything out. I see. Yeah, but then you could still claim maybe it's coming. Right, I guess. Right, you could claim a lot of things. Yeah. Okay. Amalei Rav Acha Bereid Ravi. Now, that does seem like a good solution, actually. I don't know if they had those in those days, though. Those fancy barbecues with the rotisseries built in, right? But how could you say that Shmuel said you can't put a kli under until you get rid of any redness in there at all? Doesn't Shmuel say, v'harmer Shmuel, ki kar shechatacha le'abasar asur le'ochla? Didn't we say the kikar that you cut the meat on, you can't eat, which means we're always concerned that blood is going to still be in the meat, which means that you can't ever collect the stuff at the bottom of the, while it's cooking, because there still could be some blood in there. So what do they answer? No. Shane hatam de agav duchke de sakina palit. We're not worried that while you're cooking it, there's still blood in there that's going to come out and drip at the bottom of the pan, as long as you wait till that later stage, right? Because if you remember, the blood that's inside, right, is not an issue unless it comes out. We're not worried about that. What are we worried? When you cut, this is where we get back to, I told you I was going to spoil this part. The duchka de sakina is what's bringing out the blood. If you would just normally, cook it and stuff would drip down, we're not assuming the blood's going to come out in that manner. And therefore, you could eat what's at the bottom. It's when you cut it with the knife that we're worried the blood is going to come out. Amar Rav Nachman. Now we're back to salting. And again, what are we concerned with? The blood that comes out in the salting process will go into something else. So now we're going to say if you have fish and you have birds that you're salting together, asurim, they're forbidden. So now they ask, Why are you giving us a case of degimin ofot? If you're going to say you're putting in a regular kli without any holes in it, right? If you had holes, what's going to happen? The blood's going to drip out. That's we're not worried about. I don't know exactly how you do this with holes and you're trying to salt it. Right? I guess no. Right? You're salting it. That makes sense because you don't have liquid in there when you salt it. You put the salt in, and as the blood comes out, it immediately drips out. Okay? But if we don't have that, then what happens? You end up with the blood still being in the pan, and then it's going to, because you're salting it, as you're salting it, it's going to get absorbed into the other item. So, therefore, you can't put the gimin ofot together. But now they say, if you're talking about a kli she'eino menukav, even birds and birds should nami asire. So why do you give a case of fish and birds? It should seem like you put two birds in a pan together to salt. One's going to, right, they're each going to be usher because the blood that comes out of one is going to go into the other. Ibe kli menukav, if it's in a kli menukav, it has holes, afilu dagim ofot nami shari. It should be mutar. So what could possibly be the case? By the way, this would be a problem then also, if you salt the meat in its own, by itself, because then it's going to get reabsorbed. But again, what do we say? While it's salting, it spits out but doesn't swallow in. So that's what we're going to use here. We're going to say like this. Lo'olam b'kli menukav v'dagim mishum derafe karmayu kadmei upalte v'ofot kemite batar denaychei dagim plite. Plite ofot v'hadar balamine. Okay, what do we... Sorry, I didn't read that right. Let me read it again. Dagim, because rafu karmayu, because the outer layer is softer, what's going to happen? Kadme upalte, it's going to quickly get rid of all the blood before the ofot finish getting rid of all the blood. Vofot kmite, right? And the ofot are... how do you translate it? It's tight. Okay, and therefore they don't spit out so quickly. But tar denaiche dagim, so once the dagim have already finished spitting out the blood, what's going to happen? Plite ofot, the ofot are still spitting out blood, bahadar balamine, and the dagim will absorb the blood from the fish. Okay, because, so this is, I was thinking, it's like a trampoline, right? You can go jump two people the same size. They won't usually, I mean, you should be careful, but, you know, on those big trampolines, if two people are jumping at the, but if you have one person, you know, you have a little kid who's teeny and someone big, so that's going to totally mess up that other person. That's what's going on here. There's imbalance. Because of the imbalance, the dagim are going to be finished before the ofot, and therefore they're going to start swallowing up the blood, and that's why specifically dagim and ofot. Rav Mary bar Rachel, im lachle, it's an interesting name, right? Mm-hmm. The son of Rachel. Im lechle basar shchuta bahade basar trefa. He salted non-kosher meat with kosher meat. Ata the kamei de Rava. So they brought it in front of Rava to ask, what's the story here? Okay. Rashi says, ubekli menukav, kimishpata mochim basar. Okay. He says, generally, they use a kli menukav when they salt the meat. The kamei baile, and the question was, Mi amrinan ki hechi degabe dam lo chashina in l'dilma palat el yonu balat tachton, damrinan kozman shetrudim bet plita enam bo'im. Can we say, okay, we understand when it comes to dam, we're not worried here. Obviously, this isn't a question about dam, because it would be a question of kosher meat, right? So if you have these two pieces of meat, even if one is on top of the other, what do we say? That everyone's busy being polate, they're not going to be bolea, right? That was, we just said, only if they're imbalanced. But what could we possibly be worried about? That maybe there's liquid from the non-kosher meat, and that liquid is non-kosher and will get into the other meat. In other words, there's an assumption of, even though blood, right, blood is getting spit out, and since they're busy spitting out, they're not absorbing, but maybe they're absorbing other things. They're not absorbing blood, but they're absorbing other things, in which case, are they usher or not? So, atal kamei rava amarle hatzmeim. Okay, this is a pasuk in the Dinei Kashrut. Elo hatzmeim lachem b'chol asheretz kol anogea behem b'motam yitmar ha'erev. Now, it could have just said elo hatzmeim lachem. Why does it say hatzmeim with the ha yidiyah le'esur siran v'rotvan v'kipa shalahem? It's to forbid not only the item itself, but even liquids that come from it, even gravy, and even the stuff that gets stuck on the sides of the pans. All of those are usher. So now they say, but wait a minute. So now, basically, they say it's usher because there's liquids that are coming out of the non-kosher meat, and we're worried about those liquids. Yes, they would create a kosher problem. So now they question, we'll just end with this, lema lemi de shmua. Why don't we say, We should learn it from Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Meliach Hareyu Kirotech, Bekavush Hareyu Kemevushal. Why didn't we just say simply, well, it's salting, and salting is like cooking. If you cooked a kosher meat with a non-kosher meat, obviously the kosher meat would be forbidden, so why don't you just simply say that? So they say, because imi de Shmuel, hava mina hani mile daman, aval tziran verot van lo. You might have thought that that's only the dam. Okay, the meliach, hareo kiroteach, transfers blood. But you might have thought that maybe not the juices. Okay, and that maybe the juices aren't even forbidden. Rashi says, why wouldn't you think the juices are forbidden? So he says, by tziran, zehu. It's just like, zeh is, you know, what do you call it? The stuff that evaporates. You know, it's not anything real. It's like we call in the oven, right? That if you put milk and meat in the oven at the same time that the steam gets around. Steam is the word I was looking for. Maybe you just view it as steam and it's not actually not kosher. So that's why Meliach HaRei U'Kirotech wouldn't be sufficient. You needed a Kamashwan. You needed to learn from Hatzma'im that also all the juices that come out of it are forbidden as well. In which case, once you're salting them together, it's going to be forbidden. Okay, we'll continue more with that tomorrow.